I just looked at him in the eye, as you do, and I just went and gently trod on his hand. And he said, what the hell are you doing? What the hell are you doing? And I said, oh, that took your mind off of moaning at me, didn't you?
This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again, and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, which offers education and training for referees of all levels. You can listen to our episodes every Friday from 5 p.m. Listen online at refereesworld.co.uk, or you can listen on your podcast provider. My name's Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA, and this is Technical Director Referees at UAEFA, based in Dubai in the 34 degrees heat. This is Richard Mellon.
Good afternoon, Darren.
Before we start, before we do anything, in this particular episode, we have to highlight the fact that it's a very special episode for us personally, because it is episode 100, which is a real milestone, Rich.
It is a real milestone. Do you want me to sing happy birthday to you?
Go on, sing it, and sing it in your new native language.
In my Arabic language. Sanaweho yali, sanaweho yali, sanaweho, sanaweho, sanaweho yali.
100 episodes, mate. And we haven't had a telegram from the Queen or anything like that, so that's a little unfair, but she's a little bit poorly at the moment, so to be expected. Anyway, Rich, 100 episodes on, who'd have thought that when we started this 10 years ago, we'd have got this far with it?
Mubarak. Mubarak.
What?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations in Arabic. Mubarak. Congratulations. Well done, mate. Well done. You've done a great job editing all this.
And it's not just me, it's you as well, because without you, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah, mine's just the knowledge part. the football knowledge part and the experience. Yours is the technical.
Knowledge is power, mate. Anyway, so thank you very much for listening to the Referees World podcast over the last 10 years. Let's get on with today's episode of the Referees World podcast, and we're going to go through another observation. This is my second observation of this season, an observation towards my promotion. So I'll just go through the basics. We'll read through it like we did the previous one, and then we can sort of pick bits and discuss it.
Yeah, the idea of why we break down your observations or assessments, as people used to call them, is to help the listeners understand what some of the comments mean. Because I know a lot of people sit in the promotion scheme and look for what does he mean by saying that, and don't always ask a question and don't always get an explanation of what the written word means. So if we can explain some of the terminology that goes on into assessments for you, and it's for me and you, it's mentor and referee, coach, referee, whatever people want to call it, and a couple of mates talking it over to help others to share the experience.
So here we go. This is a fixture which took place on the 16th of October 2021 on a local leagues game here in Somerset in the UK. Watchit versus Staplegrove First. First of all, I know that you've got a very, very good, solid history with Watchit. In fact, a photograph was sent to us just last week of an old chair with your name on it, because you were that much a fixture at Watchit over the early years.
Yeah, I mean, I got so many happy memories of going through the system, not just Watchit, but Watchit was a special place for me. Tough, hard county league football. It certainly helped me cut my teeth and taught me a few things, as I got so many friends down there. Stevie Allen, Dave Steele, who became a referee in the end, if you remember.
Yeah.
Norman Yore, Mike Stout. So many people I could name. But like I say, tough, hard football. And Stevie Allen, if he was on the podcast, he'd probably tell you the story of the day. He's a 6'2", 6'3" centre forward, and he wasn't afraid to have a little bit of contact. Let's say that much. And on one occasion, he got fouled, and it wasn't a big foul, but it was a foul, and I gave the free kick. And he sat there on the ground moaning at me, and I walked up to him. I didn't say anything. I just looked at him in the eye, as you do, and I just went and gently trod on his hand. And he said, what the hell are you doing? What the hell are you doing? And I said, oh, that took your mind off of moaning at me, didn't you?
Oh, another wise tip from the wise old man.
He tells that one every time I see him down there and in front of different people as well. So,
excellent.
You know, happy memories. And Watchit is, like I say, one of those one of those favourite places.
As I was saying, watch it versus Staple Grove first. And this is in the Somerset County Premier Division One Cup. So we'll start off with the summary of the referee's performance. And this, we're allowed to mention the observer because I asked him for permission. He's called Richard Cross, an old mate of yours.
Yeah, I know Richard from many years. He was Taunton RA chairman.
So here we go with the summary of the referee's performance. All checks to players and playing equipment efficiently carried out prior to the commencement of this match. So by that, we're talking about boot check, jewellery check and so on and so forth.
When do you do your boot and jewellery check, Dad?
So on this occasion, when the players came out, I asked them to sort of line up just close to the touchline. And I did that particularly at Watch It because there's always a big crowd at Watch It anyway. So yeah. I thought, well, if they can see me doing it, then it obviously just looks sort of looks the part. So that's kind of where I would do it.
If it was raining, Dad, what would you do? Would you still do it outside or would you do it inside or as they leave the changing room?
Probably as they leave the changing room.
Yeah. Standing around in the cold, wet, waiting for a referee to do his officious job, then it doesn't bode well when you have an unhappy player.
No. From the outset of this match, you clearly were able to recognise challenges that were fair and those that were not, and award free kicks accordingly, as in the 5, 15, 29, 32, 34, 53, 76 and 88th minutes. Due to your proximity to the play, you were in excellent position not to award a penalty to the home team in the 7th minute as you felt there was no foul.
Talk me through that. Can you remember the incident?
Yeah.
What I want people to understand is proximity, sometimes you have to sacrifice being close to the play to make sure you get an angle. So what did you do and how did you get to it?
So as you're running towards goal, we were inside the goal area and it was a couple of yards away from the 6-yard box. On the left-hand side, as you're looking at the goal, the defender went in for a challenge and got the ball. Wasn't no penalty, as far as I was concerned. And it did come off the defender's foot in the end, so I gave a corner.
Just confirm for the listeners, do you have club linesmen or neutral assistants on this occasion?
So on this occasion, we had club linesmen. Watch it, I've had a club linesman, the same one, for about 400 years, and you know him very well.
Mike Stout, that is.
Mike Stout.
But in the days when I was refereeing down there on the Somerset County Premier League, that was when we had neutral assistant referees, but obviously things have changed drastically as regards resources and availability.
Yeah.
And although it's still step 7, it's changed drastically. But okay, so you gave a penalty from a good position, good angle, good view. You made sure you read the phase of play on the left-hand side because on the left-hand side...
No. I didn't give a penalty then, but I did award a penalty to the away team in the 73rd minute for a foul challenge on the away 9. Both occasions, you were 10 to 12 metres away with a clear, unobstructed view. So that first penalty shout, I was right on top of and I didn't give the penalty. I gave a corner instead.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Yeah, well done. Well done. That sounds like a good situation to have had there early in the game as well.
Yeah. In the 15th minute, Home 5 directed verbal dissent at you for a decision to award a free kick to the away team. His dissent was loud and clearly directed at you. He was correctly sent from the field of play to the sin bin. You indicated to him to return to the play after 10 minutes. Now, that was, for me, the key match incident because that adjusted the tempo of the whole game for the rest of the game.
You say tempo, I think temperature is probably the right thing as well.
Temperature,
because
tempo,
depending on, I mean, these two teams are very competitive, to say the least. Watch it have got a good reputation, always have been, as regards not afraid to get involved, not afraid to get stuck in. And depending on whoever the player is, you know, and what he says, where he says it, the position on the field of play, if it's easy to sell, then I say don't miss the opportunity because players are checking you out as a referee in the first 15 to 20 minutes and it's your tolerance level that they are testing. So the assessor on this occasion, Richard, has recognised your positive approach towards dissent that was directed at you and you took the appropriate action. Did you actually stop the game or was the game already stopped when he started chatting at you, the player?
So I blew for a free kick. So the game stopped, and then that's when he hurled the abuse at me.
Okay, okay. I'd like to clarify dissent as opposed to abuse.
Yes, wrong word to say. It was dissent.
Yeah, because some people misunderstand abuse is can be offensive, insulting, and not very nice at all. So, you know, if someone calls you a cheat, then that's abuse in my view, yep. And that is a sending off offence. That's not something for the sin bin. That's something that should not be on the field of play. And calling a referee a cheat, that is not acceptable. And so, like I say, that's why I wanted just to clarify the difference between dissent and abuse.
Now, what I will say is that had I been really, really anal about it, I could have sent him from the field of play for good because there was an F-bomb used, but I managed the situation. I didn't feel it was necessary. So this is where the sin bin really worked for me on that day.
Yeah, I do tend to agree with that approach, Darren, because like it or not, football has moved on since the 80s and 90s and the early noughties where I was still refereeing. And, you know, it was quite tough, quite stringent about if he calls you an effing idiot, then he's got to be sent off. Well, today's, community, social aspect involves a lot of loose language. Let's call it that. And the loose language cuts into football sometimes. And I think during that first 15 minutes where you have your chance to make an impression and impose control on the game, that's when you eliminate any of those things that might escalate and become sort of niggling later on in the game. So I just say I agree with that approach, Dad. So well done.
OK, moving on. In the 53rd minute, at a home free kick, you obtain 9.15 metres without any problems. Substitutions in the 64, 72 and 78 minutes were carried out as per the law. Players off the field of play before allowing replacements on. Next up, as we discussed in the post-match debrief, home 9, his undershirt was a different colour to his top shirt. It should be the same as the top, law 4. Now,
Hello. What happened here then?
Yeah,
Tell me.
Well, we did touch
watch
on this.
Watch it play in red and black stripes, don't
That's
they?
Right, yeah. And he wore a black undershirt. So I thought that was okay because they've got black shorts and black socks with it.
Of course it's okay. Richard Cross, I know you're going to be listening to this. What do you mean, wrong colour undergarment? When it's a red and black striped shirt and the guy's wearing black Under Armour. I would have thought that was acceptable.
Well, hang on, the observer's getting a rollicking.
I have a vision here of the guy who's got black Under Armour on his bare arms, covered up, with a red and black striped shirt. I can't imagine that being conflicting. But hey-ho, there we go. Richard has listed it. But that doesn't cost marks.
No, okay.
That doesn't cost marks. That's just the assessor doing his job, reminding you of the expectation. And looking after the laws of the game.
He did say, actually, afterwards that this was a development point, just something to take note of. So I knew I could see where he was going with it. So,
yeah.
Right, next up, your positioning to the play was good throughout the match, enabling you to make credible decisions. This was due to your good level of fitness, with sprints noted at the 3, 8, 28, 57, 67, 81 and 85 minutes. I was also pleased to see you vary your positions at corners and running backwards, therefore keeping the play and viewers in. Sorry, keeping the players and play in view.
Well done. We've talked in previous podcasts when we've done the debrief of the assessment. And for me, just as a reminder, work rate is a big thing for referees. If you don't put a work rate in, you don't achieve optimum view. And gaining the optimum view to make the right judgment. As I've already said in this podcast and other podcasts, sometimes you have to give proximity, you have to give away proximity to make sure that you've got an angle to see the contact. Because if you're chasing behind two players that are running away from you and you haven't got an angle to make the judgment, how do you know one's pulling the shirt or not pulling the shirt? You know, and those simple situations can be, resolved by just getting 2-3 yards to the left so you can see if there's foul contact or not. And I just say, make sure your work rate continues, because any referee needs a good work rate to make sure that they get about the field of play and sell decisions.
Can I just pick up on the fitness thing, something that I've started doing at home now? This is slightly going off piece, but I'll tell you what, I'm really feeling the benefits of this. I randomly bought some ankle weights. OK, and I have started to go running with ankle weights on. OK, but not only that, And this goes back to the good old days of practicing your flag technique in front of the mirror. I now wear ankle weights around the house all the time, which sounds a bit random and it's a bit odd. Okay, I've got them on now, actually, while we do the podcast. And I'm inadvertently exercising the muscles in my legs without realising it, up and down the stairs. But, mate, it really, really works. I swear to God.
I've got to take this in another direction. Something similar to something like kinky boots comes to mind here. And that's in your day job.
Right, moving on. You used time ball out of play to take up good position to observe the next phase of play. In my opinion, your physical ability adequately matched the demands of this match. Your match control was enhanced by the decision to send home 5 in the sin bin in the 15th minute, as I did not detect any questioning on any of your decisions for the rest of the match. This was a clear demonstration of your authority of the game.
That's a nice description of how you impose control and the way in which you did it and the effect that it has. Because, you know, there are bits and pieces here all connected about how you do and what you do, how you do it and what you do. So, you know, that's been recognised by Richard, and that's good wording. Let me just say, I'll touch on this very, very carefully, because I want to say, and I know a lot of observers, assessors, wherever they may be in the world, listen to the podcast. And I want to say, please don't be that assessor that goes out there with that gotcha mentality. We need referees. The game needs referees. Mm. And I know numbers have diminished since lockdown began in March 2020, and there's a lot of referees that have not re-registered. So hopefully over the next period of time, however long that may be, to the end of this season and beyond, we just need referees to come back to the game if they will. And so consequently, assessors, please have empathy for the referee's performance. You've been there yourself. You, the assessor, have been there. You've done it. But don't be that assessor that goes out there and has a gotcha mentality. Ah, gotcha. I need that one. I'm going to tell him about that. Look for the positives in a performance. The referee knows hand on heart where, improvements can be made. So be gentle, but be, open with your comments.
Moving on. You were also seen to use a stepped approach. Quiet words with away 4, 9 minutes. Home 8, 29th minute, away 10, 58th minute, and away 44 in the 77th minute. I felt that you showed respect to the players and was happy to explain your rationale at decisions made. I was also pleased to see you explain to home 7 in the 75th minute why he was not awarded a free kick as he was fouled. You correctly played advantage as his team won ball possession in the attacking third field of the play. You also played advantage in the 53rd and 56 minutes. Hand and verbal signals were loud and clear.
Well done, mate. Well done. I mean, advantage was the last comment that you made there. It's something that is, when we play it, and I'm sure we've mentioned this in the podcast previously, playing advantage comes with a risk. And I say, if you're willing to take a risk, make sure it's to your advantage that you actually apply that clause, that part of the game, the clause. Don't take a risk for the sake of possession. Make sure that it's clear advantage. Normally in the attacking third, which is the green part, we've talked about this, that's where you get the biggest satisfaction when a goal is the outcome from playing advantage. But playing advantage in the penalty area, I wouldn't recommend it. You've got to be very, very fortunate that the ball is going to be going into the net. So don't think about playing advantage unless it's easily obvious. Easily obvious.
Next part, your assistant referees. I like this bit. Your assistant referees were a combination of good and bad. Home assistant, excellent. Oh, we know who that is. We've already talked about him.
I was about to give Mike Stout some jip.
Go on, give us some jip.
Stouty,
anyway.
Stouty, are you still putting that flag up for non-offside?
And he's very good at it as well. Away team used substitutes who were very poor and did not offer you any support. This led to a number of changes throughout the game. To your credit, you gave instructions to each change. As the away team had 2 non-players in their dugout, I would recommend you insist that one of them should have acted as assistant rather than the substitutes.
Why does that, just because they're non-players, why does that indicate they're any good? That for me, that comment, if I was talking to Richard now, I'm sure he would understand our conversation. But just because there's two non-players in the technical area doesn't mean to say anything other than they're just, they're there for whatever reason. And I don't know what the reason would be. But if substitutes are offered as assistant referees, then that's the club's offering on that day, and you're obliged to accept it. You can't go in there and say, you can't come to, if I was down at Watchet, and you can't come up to me and say, Richard, would you run the line for me? I need you to run the line. You've got to run the line. You have to accept what the club are willing to offer you. So consequently, two non-players doesn't mean to say either one of them are any good. And the fact that they don't want to do it has already been established because substitutes are running the line.
Last little bit.
You should have gone to the clubhouse and got somebody out of the bar.
Yeah, they'd have probably done a better job, to be honest. final little bit here. It says, you were alert to an injury to away four in the 44th minute. Has the ball gone out of the play? The match was restarted with a throw-in. The player not returning as half-time whistle was blown. All hand signals were clear and unambiguous. Whistle was clear and sharp.
Let's go through a couple of those comments, Darrell, as regards signals. Hand signals were... unambiguous was the word I think Richard used.
Unambiguous.
Just describe your type of signalling there, because if there are some new listeners to the podcast coming into refereeing, then obviously understanding the terminology is quite easy, but give a visual of how you make your signals stand out.
So I would be quick to respond and sharp, and I would say... not lame. Sometimes you can see some referees that just sort of softly put their arm out and with no urgency.
Yep. Good word.
So that's kind of how...
Be strong, be positive. Yeah. What sort of angle would you put your arm out for a throw-in, Dad?
Now, I've been working on this over the last few games. And in fact, I had a game last night where a fellow colleague of ours actually commented on what excellent signals I was doing and how sharp they were. So that was good to hear. So I would bang them out at about 45 degrees.
Nice. That's exactly what I thought you might say. That's things that we've talked about.
Yeah.
You know, and like I say, there's a lot of referees out there that don't have coaching, don't have mentoring. But if they listen to the podcast, hopefully they can get a visual of what we're talking about and go out there and put it into their performance and enhance the performance. Convince people you know what you're doing, because there are a lot of doubters out there and there's a lot of frustration from players when they think a referee is hesitant or shy or timid and they will try to impose their ideas on what a referee should be doing. So the sharp, short signals, quick signals... 45-degree angle. What sort of signal do you give for a goal kick, Dad? How do you do it?
Hand out in front of me at 90 degrees. Flat. Horizontal.
Parallel to the ground.
Yeah, parallel.
I knew what you were going to say. I just had to give you the right words. So parallel to the ground. Do you want the palm of your hand facing the floor or palm of your hand facing the sky?
I did wonder whether you were going to mention that, because a colleague of ours had that brought up in his observation last week. Funnily enough, I always have palm facing down, but he used to do palm facing up and was told to go face down.
Does it really matter?
It doesn't, no. I think it's just...
If an assessor, observer, has only got that to talk about, that's because he's struggling for stuff to look at. Look at angles. Look at things that influence decision-making. Certainly that type of signal, palm of the hand down or palm of the hand up, to me, it doesn't matter, but match control is the important thing.
Yeah.
Not those simple soft signals, you know, and things like that.
Let's move on, because we're running a bit over now. So I'll go on to the next bit of the observation, which is performance competencies. Okay, so here we go. Application of law above standard, match control above standard, positioning and movement well above standard, fitness well above standard, management above standard, and alertness and awareness above standard.
Well done. That's an above standard performance. I can hear that. That's what we'd already discussed. I would have expected to hear those comments at the end on the report. But you've still got to do it time and time again. You've got to go out there, your next game and the game after that and the game after that. And then who knows what reward you get for it, because you're up for your level 5 reaccreditation, isn't it?
That's right.
And so, and I think that's inevitable that you're going to get that from my personal opinion, mm-hmm. And knowing how you referee. And I just say to my home county there in Somerset, come on, guys, get a move on. This lad's waiting, he's chomping at the bit. Let's get him promoted back into where he needs to be. The game needs him up there looking after those senior games.
Okay, next bit is strengths and developments demonstrated during the game. Strengths, positioning and movement enabled you to be in incredible positions throughout the match. Number two, all aspects of law were applied. Good recognition of challenges that were fair and those that were not. And number three, communication. You were heard throughout the match talking to players and prepared to explain your rationale. Development points. Number one, home nine wearing a different colour undershirt, which we've already discussed. And the other point was use of substitutes as assistant referees can lead to match control issues as today their poor ability. So that was that. Additional comments. It says, this is the final bit, a competent performance today. A match well controlled with two teams keen to play football. You needed to maintain your concentration throughout. A feature today was your fitness and positioning. This enabled good refereeing performance.
Well done. Let's close the book there and just say another game ticked off. Bring on the next one.
Excellent work. That's the Referees World podcast for this episode. Thanks very much for listening. Hopefully you'll pick up some pointers and benefit from this and take them into your own games as well. If there's any questions you have, always great to hear from you via the website, refereesworld.co.uk, which you can also listen to the podcast via, and, of course, on your podcast provider.
This is Referees World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.